Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Kosher Tidbits. Today we'll focus and spend a couple of minutes discussing kosher wine and kosher grape juice. Grape wine and other grape-derived products have a special place in halacha. The special place in halacha manifests itself in a number of areas. One example is with the bracha that we make when consuming grape-derived products. Typically, the fruit from a tree, when consuming that by itself, one makes a bari priya eitz, a blessing over the fruit of the tree. When you extract the juice from the fruit, you only make a shahakol. You make a more general type of a bracha, shahakol niya bedvaro, that we make on all general types of products. With respect to grape juice, when consuming the grapes themselves, we make a bari priya eitz. We make the bracha of the fruits of the tree, because the vine from which the grapes grow is considered a tree. Once you extract the juice from the grapes, that has a special bracha of bari pri hagafen, a special bracha specific to the grape, to the fruits and the juice of the vine. Another area, and this is the, I guess, area that makes it most sensitive with respect to the manufacture of kosher grape juice and kosher wine, is yayin nesach. What this means is, in ancient times, when there was much idol worship in the world, the concern existed that if wine or grape juice, which was used in the libations or in the service of the idols, was used for that purpose, it would become forbidden for Jewish people and for people who consuming kosher to drink from that wine because it was dedicated for idols. Now, it's true that that concern of idol worship is long in history, doesn't exist any longer. Nonetheless, those restrictions that were enacted, whereby only specific approved individuals could handle grape juice and wine products, those restrictions still remain to this day. And perhaps for other reasons, the reason primarily today is that wine is something which is enjoyed between individuals in a social context, and the concern existed that if we were to share with other faiths, there would be intermarriage between faiths by the sharing of wine. And as you know, it may sound a little bit ancient and archaic, but those types of restrictions have actually maintained the purity of the Jewish people, and that they marry within the faith and not outside the faith. So, yayin nesach, like I mentioned, which is the wine which is used as a libation for avodah zarah, for idol worship, while that's no longer an issue, we do refer to wine which is not prepared in the restricted manner by specific individuals as stam yenam, general wine which cannot be consumed by kosher consuming people. Now, if we follow and trace the steps of making wine and making grape juice, we can look at the sensitive and areas that require special restriction and special care. Harvesting of the grapes is in itself not a sensitive issue. We go out into the field, we go out into the vineyard, and that's done today sometimes manually, sometimes it's done through an automated process with machinery, but typically the grapes themselves are not pressed and juice is not extracted. As long as that hasn't taken place, there's no restriction whatsoever on the grape, and therefore we can go into our stores and purchase grapes themselves, consume them without any special care. However, once they arrive into the grape juice extracting facility, plant manufacturing, or into the winery, what happens is they are subjected to a pressing or an extraction process whereby juice is separated from the pulp and from the skin and from the seeds of the grape. And at that point, the entirety of the grape, whether any of the components that we just mentioned, all are restricted to being handled only by Shomer Shabbos individuals. Should they be handled by others, that grape skin, that grape pulp, that grape juice, or the seeds themselves would be invalidated for kosher use. As we continue the process, we take the juice. Sometimes if it's just juice that's to be sold as juice, the juice is either concentrated by removing water, and sometimes reconstituted after, or it's single-strength juice, which is sold and which is packaged for use. If wine is to be made, that wine enters into special fermentation tanks, and what happens naturally when subject to the right temperatures is that the sugar which is found within the grape juice converts, because of enzymes which are found within the grape skin, they convert into wine. It converts into alcohol, which makes the final product a wine product. That's why a sweet grape juice ends up typically into a dry wine, unless, of course, you add either sugar or grape juice concentrate to sweeten the wine. Or if you stop the fermentation process early so that not all of the sugar has converted, and then you have what's called the residual sugar from the grape themselves. After you've fermented the wine, and that can take from a week or two up to 3-4 weeks, what happens is you take that wine, and you can either, in the case of better wines, age them in either barrels, wooden barrels, or in stainless steel tanks. They can be aged for many months, or they can be bottled after a short period. And the filtration happens to remove any sediment and any other extras that exist there. In the filtration, we have to be concerned that, of course, no additives are used that could compromise the kosher status. And usually with grape juice and wine, we're concerned not just with the general kosher status, but also the Pesach status. The wines and grape juice are typically kosher for Passover also. And finally, the process of the bottling, whereby the tanked juice is put into bottles and sealed. Now, all of the steps, all of the manipulation of the product, whether it's adding yeast to the product, whether it's removing what they call pump overs to have the juice flow and be mixed over and over, all of those steps have to be handled by Shomer Shabbos special approved workers. At the completion of the process, once it's in the bottle and it's sealed, then it can be handled by anybody, but from the point of extraction of juice through the final packaging, typically it's handled only by those special approved workers. Now, there is one exception to this, and that is when the juice has been cooked up to high temperatures. Typically, the OU requires 175 degrees Fahrenheit. To be considered mevushel, to be considered that the wine or the juice has been cooked, and the restrictions of stam yenam or yayin esef that we mentioned before were never applied to a cooked product. And the reason for this is that while juice and wine were used and sacrifice, they were not used if they had been cooked. It was considered an inferior product. Today, with flash pasteurization, it's possible to cook up the wine with very little loss of quality to the wine. Although many of the better wines, the more expensive type of wines, sometimes avoid the mevushel process because wine connoisseurs seem to be able to detect the difference between wine which has been subject to pasteurization and other wine which has not been subject to it. With respect to the bottle, there's a difference between yain, which is mevushel, between wine which has been cooked and that which is not. With wine that has been cooked, there's only a requirement for one simon, or one sign on the bottle. So an OU symbol or a kosher symbol on the label or on the capsule is sufficient to identify the product as being kosher. However, if you're dealing with a wine which is not mevushel, which has not been cooked or pasteurized, it's necessary to have two simonim. So typically you'll see an OU symbol or you'll see another kosher symbol on the label, as well as the capsule or the cork, which is required in order to ensure the integrity of that kosher wine. Other products that are derived from grapes include things like grape skin extract. These are sometimes colors that are extracted from the grape skin, red colors that are derived from it. Certain nutritional additives are also derived from the grape skin. Those typically have the same restrictions because once the grape has been pressed, and that's what happens when you want to separate the juices and other components from the grape skin, that grape skin is restricted just as the grape juice is restricted. So typically those products have to be made under the similar conditions as grape juice and wine. There is also another derivative of grape, which is from the grape's seeds. Now, grape seeds, their derivatives of the grape seeds can be extracted early on, shortly after the grape has been pressed and the juice and pulp and skin have been removed. In those cases, the restrictions do remain in effect, as with the other components of the grape. With respect, however, to dried grape seeds, those that have been left to dry for 12 months or that have a similar moisture level to that which has been left for 12 months to dry, the restrictions are removed. And we say that that's not considered any longer like a grape product, and those can be used without any restriction. Some of the things that can be derived from the dried grape seeds would be things like grapeseed oil, which usually is a simple type of a product. And even if grapes seeds have been derived to have been taken from non-kosher pressing, nonetheless, there's no restriction on the grape seeds once they're dried. And the same is true for other grapeseed extracts. As long as they're extracted from the seed after the drying process, there's no longer restriction, and those can be used freely. In Israel, there are additional restrictions which are not specific to grapes, and those are all of the laws that apply to agriculture. And for example, we're interested in the grapes that are coming into the winery, as we're not so concerned in Chutz La'aretz and outside of the state of Israel. And those restrictions include things like trumos and maizros, the tithes that have to be separated from those grapes. There are other restrictions such as Shemitah, the seventh sabbatical year. The OU does not certify product that is from the sabbatical year from Jewish agriculture in Israel. There are methods by which it can be consumed, such as Otzer Bezdin, which is whereby it's not used for private use, but rather it's handled and entirely by a public body. There are methods to utilize the grapes of Shemitah, but since the OU is primarily certifying Israeli products for export, and there are other restrictions that apply to that, so as not to confuse the Chutz La'aretz, the diaspora consumers, we avoid certifying those types of products. There's another issue that has come up, and that is Arla. The vine, grapevines, are specifically restricted from having other side crops intermingled with the vines. And while in better grapes, it's almost never heard of that they would plant other crops interspersed with the vineyard, because that could be to the detriment of the grapes. Nonetheless, with respect to some of the downgrade grapes, that does happen. And there are, for example, in certain Arab vineyards, situations where this has occurred. Because we have special supervision at the agriculture level in Israel, they're careful to avoid these types of issues. So the same way they're monitoring the Truma, the Meiser, and the Shemitah issues, they're also monitoring this issue of Arla. This is just to give a general overview of how grape is processed, the special restrictions that only Shomer Shabbos people can handle them. Bear in mind that the grape season is typically late August into October in the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, which is the exact opposite of here, it typically falls out in late February into March and April, which in both circumstances fall out at the same time as Jewish holidays, which presents special challenges. Grape crush is a hectic time, and it's necessary to have the necessary staffing in place. With Yontif, that's not always that easy to do, but many people are involved in this process, and typically it's teams of mashkichim, teams of special kosher workers who are involved in processing wine and grape juice. And the OU certifies such products all over the world, literally, and all the major continents and in all the major grape growing areas of the world. So whether it's in California or Virginia in the United States, or whether it's in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the OU has certifying, and special kosher workers are involved in this process all over the world. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate your interest.